Covert vulnerable narcissists, those who are wolves but in sheep's clothing, are the most dangerous types to deal with because they stab you with invisible knives. You see the blood oozing out of your body, but you do not know what caused that. Why is it happening? You only feel the pain. These types of narcissists are extremely difficult to handle and deal with, especially when they create chaos or an argument, and they almost always win. I know this because I have experienced this kind of abuse firsthand with my covert vulnerable narcissistic mother, which is why today's episode is going to be different. In this episode, I'll be sharing with you 5 hidden habits of a covert vulnerable narcissist that make them undefeatable. If that sounds interesting and you are eager to learn more, please make sure to subscribe before we begin, because your subscription to this channel helps in spreading awareness about narcissistic abuse. Hi, I am Danish, a narcissistic abuse recovery professional. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get started with number one. Playing victim and becoming the martyr. I'm not talking about just any victimhood. You know, all narcissists like to be the victim of their circumstances. But when we talk about a covert, vulnerable, dangerous form of narcissism, which is also called secondary psychopathy, we're talking about the extreme victim mentality. These people are capable of creating dramas among hundreds of people and then embarrass you, bring you shame, or push you to the point of wanting to not exist anymore. Let me be more specific and give you an example. Let's say you try to hold a narcissist accountable, a covert vulnerable narcissist, for their actions. They won't respond to that overtly, like an overt narcissist would, through manipulation, gaslighting, all the lying. Of course, the covert vulnerable narcissist would lie as well, but it's twisted in nature. So what they could or would do is they'll start crying, sometimes physically, and in literal sense, they'll start beating themselves. To deflect and avoid taking responsibility, they will start revising the history and may distort the facts. They may talk about all the incidents and experiences they've had with you when you try to blame them the way you are blaming them now. And then they will generalize it, they'll exaggerate it. They'll connect this small thing after creating the narrative that they are the victim of your doings with how they are a victim of the entire world and every person has treated them this way, and they're the biggest martyr. They do good for others, they sacrifice, they give, and all they get back is this kind of treatment, being blamed for something they do not know about, because apparently they say or will say, I haven't done that or said that, which is the other part of it. What this does to you as the receiver of this treatment is that it makes you feel extremely bad about who you are as a person, how you have wronged them, and that you are the nasty one, the crazy one, the cruel one, the manipulator, the tyrant, because this poor soul, this innocent soul, was always done good for others. How could you even think that they have said this or done this when there is another big part of you that very clearly knows and remembers they did and said it? But then in that moment of confusion, which they create through this victimhood, you lose that awareness and you're overtaken by the guilt they fill you in with. I am sharing my past with you, my life story that I have lived with my covert vulnerable narcissistic mother. Back then, she never took responsibility for anything she said or did. It was always the spiral, back and forth, and crying and sobbing and wishing all the bad things on herself just to deny having said or done something she had clearly said or done. And what that did to me was it made me extremely fearful of conflict. I still, to a certain degree, avoid conflict because then it fills me with that anxiety, the guilt, or the possible shame I could feel for pointing out the obvious. That is how they beat you psychologically, how they beat you morally. Habit number 2, pathological lying. I'm not just talking about lying like I never said that. I never did that. Yes, that is the top creamy layer of lying. Creamy layer because it's easily detectable and can be understood and labeled as a big lie. But when we talk about the lying behavior of a covert vulnerable narcissist, it's mind-boggling. You will see a covert vulnerable narcissist swearing on their life, on their kids, on their family, on everything they have, and so convincingly to avoid speaking the truth because they can't. A narcissist would easily choose to donate all their vital organs than accepting that they are in the wrong. That's how they are. It's their nature. So I have seen this with my mother. Anytime you would tell her, but you said this, I clearly remember. She would first try saying, oh, you remember it the wrong way. I never said it that way. You don't remember things the way they were said. Then if that didn't work, she would start cursing herself, wishing death on herself, wishing the destruction. I mean, doing all the things that would help her gain control back, but in a coercive way. How so? The narcissist knows, this type of a narcissist knows that you would never want anything bad to happen to them. And they know that people do not swear on their life, on their kids, on their everything so easily. When someone does that, that means there is some truth to the swearing. So they weaponize your beliefs. They weaponize what you believe in against you to convince you. We're talking about the epitome of victimhood. I mean, it's unexplainable. It has a devastating impact on the person who is receiving this treatment because it really creates a moral splitting kind of a thing inside this person. On one hand, they know they are right. They heard it. They saw it happening. It was done and said. That behavior was evident. But then there is this inner beater that takes birth. How dare you, you did that to your mother. You must be such a bad child, such a bad partner. They're so innocent, as I was explaining before. They mix three ingredients with all of this. The fear of abandonment. How dare you question me? I'm going to abandon you now. The sense of obligation. You're obligated to serve me. How dare you behave this way? And the guilt. We're talking about the epitome of victimhood. I mean, it's unexplainable. It has a devastating impact on the person who is receiving this treatment because it really creates a moral splitting kind of a thing inside this person. On one hand, they know they are right. They heard it. They saw it happening. It was done and said. That behavior was evident. But then there is this inner beater that takes birth. How dare you, you did that to your mother. You must be such a bad child, such a bad partner. They're so innocent, as I was explaining before. They mix three ingredients with all of this. The fear of abandonment. How dare you question me? I'm going to abandon you now. The sense of obligation. You're obligated to serve me. How dare you behave this way? And the guilt. Hidden habit number three, mixed empathy. What does that mean? Well, when we talk about narcissists, we say these people lack empathy or have zero empathy towards other people. They only care about themselves. But when it comes to a covert vulnerable narcissist, it's not that simple to process and understand. And essentially, they also lack empathy. They don't have it, but they are masters at pretending to have it. It almost feels like they have it. If you have been through this kind of abuse, you know, you might know what I'm talking about. And if you do understand, if you can relate, please let me know in the comments. So when you are around this person and when you're going through the good times, you truly feel connected to something. They truly seem empathetic. For example, such a parent will cook for you, which is the responsibility of every parent. But I'm talking about paying attention to the detail, what the child likes and all that, and just will pretend to take care by you, clothes, gifts, all those things will take you to the doctors, talk to you, smile at you, play with you, you know, attend. And you may feel there is attunement, but as you grow up and as they lose control and authority, it shocks you to find out that that attunement is missing and you do not understand why. because your brain has a different referential experience and that does not match with the current one. So what does that create? Obviously cognitive dissonance. And what does that lead to? Self-blame. I must have done something wrong, which is further reinforced by their gaslighting. What is very important to understand is the cruel phase of such a parent. When they become cruel, it's ununderstandable and incomprehensible because you don't know who you're dealing with. They give you silent treatments, they stonewall you, they revise history, the list they have been creating in their mind of all the things they have done for you, they pull it up and then the reading goes on. All the things are done and said to corner you, to put you in that little box they have created you, because they want you to be subservient. They know how to smother you, be it a partner or a parent. They know how to breadcrumb you. An overt narcissist is overtly stone-like, but a covert narcissist does not feel like that. There are occasions when they know how to be your sheep so that you do not feel the wolfish side. Now, how does this habit of sending mixed signals makes them undefeatable? Because you're not able to cut the tie. Later, I will include myself in that group as well. Those people who have been abused by covert narcissists say things like, I don't know what was bad in there. I feel the pain, I feel anxious, I feel hypervigilant, I know I can't speak my mind, but I don't know exactly what they are doing wrong because they're not hitting me, they're not screaming, they're not name calling me, they're not always angry. I have truly felt that affection. So what is causing that pain? That makes it, I don't like to compare things, but still I would say it makes, this confusion makes it 10 times more difficult for such survivors to break their trauma bond with a covert narcissist. With the overt narcissist, you can see it like I saw in my father. He was unempathetic, cold, distant, punitive, vengeful. I mean, all the bad things. But with my mother, it was mixed as I was explaining earlier. So it took me almost 20 plus years to sort out what was going on and to recognize the actual truth of the relationship. With my father, like quite early on, I knew who he was. With my mother, earlier, my idea of her was, oh, she's the best mother ever. The one who has been victimized by everybody, who has sacrificed so much. She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. But no, she was the worst thing, unfortunately. Hidden habit number 4. Covert vulnerable narcissists criticize you, but in the guise of concern. Oh, I love you. Which is why I want you to not question me, because that creates more problems between us. And then I feel sad. I don't talk to you for days. I don't want to do that. I want to be around you. Had I not loved you, why would I keep you with myself? I could have easily left your father years ago. I didn't leave him because I thought bad things will happen to you. I stayed for you. I sacrificed all those years for you. Now, why don't you let go? Why don't you forgive your father? Why don't you just stay like I did? I'm just saying it for us, for our family. These are the exact words my mother said to me quite recently. See, they stab you, but truly, it doesn't feel like a stab. And if you have been programmed to fall for this kind of manipulation and gaslighting, oh, I'm doing it for you, then you easily fall for it for a second and you think, maybe she is right, maybe I can do this. See how much she has done for me or he has done for me. Maybe I can do this little bit. It's not that big of a deal. I can tolerate it. I can handle it. And then you start comparing your suffering with their suffering, and their suffering is not that big. It has been exaggerated or it has been reshaped into something entirely different. And then what does that do? That brainwashes you into minimizing your suffering, which is 1,000 times more intense and worse than their pain. Had I given in to her demands and agreed to coming back and reinitiating contact with my father, what would that have looked for me? More abuse, more control, more torture, more pain, and eventually, I would say, I'm sure, untimely death. That could have been my end, because I don't have more capacity to take any abuse anymore. I have taken enough. Why do they use this pretense? Well, they can't be direct. They know if they were to be direct, they will be exposed. So to maintain their control, to get you back, to use you for supply, they will be very gentle with you. They have programmed you to tiptoe around them, and they know what buttons to push, and this is their favorite button.
Hidden habit number 5, their extreme aggression. They're more explosive than overt narcissists. Would you believe me if I said that? But it is hidden. They'll be apparently angry, giving you silent treatment or certain looks that tell you something is going on. But if you were to ask them, what did I do? Why are you angry at me? Why I'm not angry? What are you talking about? Are you now imagining things? When did I say I was angry? Come on, don't make things up if they don't exist. And then that will make you question yourself, because you will think you are creating issues when very clearly they are behaving in subtle ways that signal only one thing, and that is disconnection and nothing to do with you. Here is another example for you. My mother would all of a sudden leave the room. I mean, everybody would be happy. That happiness either was not related to her or was not because of her. And that made her feel really insignificant. And since she is so entitled and grandiose, she would just storm out of the room, go into her bedroom, and then jump into her bed. What next? Everybody's around her. What happened? What's wrong? And then she would not want to eat at all for hours. Why aren't you eating? I would feel like I'm hungry and I'm insomniac and I'm this and I'm that. And everybody forgets to smile, loses that spark, that joy that was there, and now starts pleasing her, catering to her needs. That was my life story. That was my only job back then. And the shocking thing about all of this is she would get really explosive and angry if asked, what's wrong? Probably she wanted nobody to point out the obvious to her. On one hand, she wanted everybody to think that she is suffering, but on the other hand, she did not want to appear weak, it seems. And she wanted everybody to just do what she didn't even ask us to do. She didn't give us instructions to do, but sulk. It's so crazy. It's like a 4-year-old stuck in an adult body. That's throwing these tantrums. I would say children act more maturely than these dysfunctional, rotten, soulless narcissists. How does this habit make them undefeatable? You never get to express your anger. Their anger is always there, and you're not going to know when they are going to be angry at you. It's uncalled for, unprovoked. It will show up when you least expect it to show up. And if you get angry back at their anger, then they will push the guilt button, the sense of obligation button. It doesn't matter if it is a parent or a partner or any other covert vulnerable narcissist. They do the same thing. They know what the game is. It's like you are bouncing so many fireballs at once. You don't know which one is going to burn you, so you have to keep going. You are balancing so many things. How can you defeat such a crazy psychopath individual? So your obvious question might be, what can one do in this situation? You must always leave, no matter what, because this kind of a narcissist will eat you, but slowly, not all at once. They are unaliving you. Yes, and they don't care about it because they think they're entitled to destroying you because you are theirs. Leave them, take care of your guilt, release it, know that you have done the best in your capacity, but nothing is enough for them. Let that fear go. They might have put that in your mind and created this dependency that you're nothing without them, but that's not true. Face that abandonment, that nobody to control you, and let go of that obligation, because you don't owe them anything, nothing at all. They are your tormentor, your destroyer. I did all of this, that's why I'm sharing it with you. And maybe your other question would be, does a covert vulnerable narcissist know that they are doing this? Are they aware of it? I would say 100% yes. I got a little piece of evidence that confirmed it all, because earlier there was a part of me still wondering, maybe she is not that aware, maybe she is not conscious, but I think God had to reveal it to me. It was revealed in a way that confirmed it all. And I was like, oh my God, she knows exactly what she's doing and that she is lying. She's making up these scenarios. My mother I'm talking about. So I can tell you with confidence that they know what they are doing. Yes. With that, let's bring this episode to an end. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I'll talk with you in the next one. Until then, as always, let the healing begin and continue.